From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like Oliver and Mike.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Welcome, everybody, to the Thursday, January 14th episode of Beers with the Brewers.
Welcome to the simulation.
Well, that right there is Walt DeKeys.
I'm in the office, the Land Grant headquarters office.
Not getting in there as much anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm not at Northern Clintonville Kindergarten and Daycare and Home Kitchen anymore. We're at the headquarters just for today.
Well, also, we're very fortunate. 2 weeks in a row, I don't know what went right to make this happen, but Justin Reich on the podcast again this week.
I managed to actually take Dan down today for the sole purpose of being on this podcast. So he might be out for a couple more weeks.
You pinned him?
He's somewhere.
you guys had a wrestling match.
If you hear, like, muffled noises coming from the hop cooler that conveniently has a very heavy bookshelf now in front of it, just ignore those. It's just what hops do. They just, you know, they're hopping around in that.
If there's a mysterious honking floating in from the outdoors, that's just Dan trying to get out of the trunk of your car.
Fair enough. Well, I'm Mark Richards, as always, and this week we're going to be talking about And Beyond, the 8th installment in our Space Grant series.
It's inspired by a government agency that I think we can all really appreciate and get behind.
Yeah.
It's a space program.
So this one is a black IPA with Crimson Cup coffee. Justin will be telling us a lot more about that coffee later. Dark tropical citrus and roast coffee.
Sure is.
That's what I'm getting.
Justin, what kind of glass do you have this in this week?
So we kind of started off pre-podcast talking about this, and I am struggling to find a perfect glass for a black IPA, because especially a coffee black IPA, you're kind of getting a whole bunch of different notes from this beer, and it really depends on what you want to emphasize. So if you're thinking you want to like really emphasize those kind of piney resinous characters from the hops, you're probably going to want to veer towards one of the Spieglau IPA glasses. If that is not your thing and you want to get more of that coffee or roast character, probably either a snifter, or I actually have one of the Spieglau stout glasses as well that could probably really help with that coffee malt character coming through.
Yeah, I'm not as fancy as Justin. I'm drinking mine out of a glass made of aluminum with a built-in swing top lever that I was able to crack it open with.
A swing top? So you can, like, close it and everything?
Not necessarily, without, like, a fish
you put duct tape
sort of
on
thing.
It.
But it's working out pretty well, I'll say that.
I am incredibly excited to talk about this beer, Black IPA, which is actually one of my favorite recurring beers that we do every year. Obviously, we mix it up. So let's talk about the hop bill. We kind of went with a more traditional Black IPA hop bill this year, where we were really emphasizing those kind of resinous, kind of piney character with like a little hint of tropical notes from the Azaka that we added in, almost like a tiny bit of a pineapple thing. But the two main hops in this are going to be Simcoe and Chinook. Those are classic American hops.
Classic.
You'll actually find in a lot of the original black IPAs brewed in the early 2000s to upwards of like 2010. The malt bill is our silo malt, and then Midnight Wheat, which gives it that nice dark character, but without too much roast. And not a whole lot of bitterness either. So it looks dark in character, but still has the hoppy goodness that you get in a IPA. And then we used our house strain, the Omega Hornendahl Kvike yeast on this. So you're looking at a opaque ruby brown beer with that nice coffee roastiness. The coffee is from Crimson Cup, like Mark said, and we did a new thing this year. We actually blended two different coffees together. So normally with Crimson Cup, we'll actually go there and do a cupping with them, and we'll pull different flavors from the coffees and then build the beer around it. This year, they gave us a couple of bags of coffee, so we were brewing it on our little Mr. Coffee at the brewery. Not the same experience. But we found that... we found that they've got a Antigua coffee, which is a kind of a lighter roast that's got more of like a citrus kind of character. And then they have a Cosa coffee that has a lot of tropical notes. So we really wanted to get that citrusy character from the Simcoe, the tropical aroma from the Azaka with that nice big piney oomph of the Chinook to kind of blend it all forward.
Mm-hmm.
Into this lovely beer that we are now holding in our hands.
Every year I love this beer, and I feel like every year it gets a little bit better. This is great.
Yeah, it's good. This is the second year we've done coffee for the entire batch. Am I correct?
That is correct. And years before last, we've done just the straight black IPA, but at least... for two or three years before last, we would do an infusion of coffee, with the first one being that we used that Maceron coffee.
Well, we used that same coffee, the Crack the Sky coffee from Dark Matter in Chicago. We used that coffee in Binary Star and Godspeed. I think Binary Star might have just been a cask. And it went over so well that we did a keg of Godspeed. I think we called that, it was Godspeed into Oblivion.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was, yeah.
But then, we did an infusion on Gravity Wave as well. And then Stargazer and Beyond are now both
brewed
all coffee. I think we did a one-off of Tranquility Base. I think that was called Tranquility Buzz or something like that.
It sure was. That's marketing right there.
All of the coffee infusions. Yeah, we've just liked how the coffee pairs with these beers so much that we did the whole batch with coffee this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turned out lovely.
I would agree. It's pretty good. All those aromas as described to Justin, I mean, you did a good job summing up all the aromas that I'm taking in right now.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Coach.
Rolling down memory lane, I think we just about named all of them in the black IPA vein. And then we had the one outlier, Qbert, if you'll recall.
Yeah, Qbert was a extra pale, I believe, that we brewed.
It was.
Man, remind me of the story behind this one. Mark, I feel like you might have been involved with the communication on that.
It was a satellite launch that OSU had a lot to do with, yes. And they were taking the beer to the actual launch site to have while launching the satellite, which, not bad to have a satellite go into orbit fueled by beer.
Yeah, that was fun and cool, and I'm glad we could make that happen. And the artwork on that was a lot of fun. It was like the game Qbert, the old arcade game, with the little satellite, which was Qbert, but not spelled the same way, hopping on the cubes there. And then I guess the other sort of outlier was the EF1. The first Space Grant beer we did was very early days at Land Grant, maybe even probably like our first March. So we'd only been open probably, 4 or 5 months at that point. And our friends and neighbors over at Kosai came to us, and they were reopening the planetarium there, and we brewed that beer for the event where they reopened the planetarium. They had a Kosai After Dark type event.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of fun, and one of our first beers outside of the sort of Stiff Arm Greenskeeper 1862 Son of a Mutter thing. And, we had the early Beard Crumbs.
Yep.
Was one of our first ones, maybe our first one. Yep. And then
Deep this Search was right around there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Gold Pants, I think, was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember, yeah, Gold Pants Lager. But yeah, I think the EF1 might have been, other than Beard Crumbs, the first sort of...
So I think step that EF1 of our, batch...
quote-unquote core releases at that time.
That was brewed on the one barrel pilot system, like Adam's homebrew getup, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
We brewed it on the big system then, because I think we did multiple batches of EF1, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I feel like we did like two, which, you know, would have netted us like, I don't know, maybe like 7 kegs worth of beer, something like that. It did not go into a can. I know that.
No, it did not.
We didn't even have a canning line set up at that point.
Yeah, and that one, EF1, standing for East Franklinton 1, it just sounded spacey. And then the following year, we sort of pivoted to basing them on a little more real-life space exploration ideas or sort of space science. Like, Binary Star wasn't necessarily space exploration, but it was... space science related, I guess.
I know for a fact EF1 was like this, and Binary Star might have been as well, but the even the recipe creation on those were like space themed, where I think when we went into the process, it was just kind of like, oh, we saw this hop was called Apollo, let's use that. Oh, yeah. This hop was called Galaxy, let's use that. There wasn't really any rhyme or reason. So one of the things you guys are saying, oh, these beers are getting better, I think... I mean, obviously, over the past, like, 5 years, we've veered away from that, but brewing a beer, right, not necessarily due to the name of the ingredient, but the actual character itself has...
Helped
immensely with the beer.
Yeah, definitely. I think we did use Galaxy maybe on the first one, but Galaxy being a hard hop to come by at a price that makes any sense to brew with, you know, and yeah, to your point, it became less about... shoehorning a hop name into a space theme and more about, all right, well, we've got this black IPA that we've been making. Let's make the best black IPA we can and find some inspiration for the brand from, and it's typically something that has to do with, you know, that year in sort of the space world, like, you know, the year we did. Godspeed was the year John Glenn passed away, and then like Gravity Wave was the year that gravity waves were detected. Last year we did Stargazer with Catherine Sullivan, former astronaut and former president of COSI, and it was the anniversary of her class at NASA. And then this year and beyond,
We all decided that we just love Toy Story so much.
You know, Toy Story 4 came out a couple of years ago. So, now it was 60 years of manned spaceflight as of this year, and I think the real sort of inspiration behind it was the first shuttle flight in 1981, and it's the 40th anniversary of that. And I think. As a kid who grew up in the 90s, you know, the space shuttle was like the thing. And I think there's a lot of progress has been made because of the space shuttle. And I think a lot of also sort of nostalgia for myself and people that grew up around the time I did. And I thought, you know, that was something worth celebrating, but we kind of wanted to, at least with the name, sort of encompass all of sort of manned space flight. And loop in the space shuttle, so we went with the name And Beyond, but put the space shuttle right there on the label, and I think it turned out great. I always love this beer, and if you're curious, the old ones you can find them online, or you if you come into the tap room, we've got all the old ones sitting there to the left of the bar in our little trophy case probably isn't the right term for it, but our sort of...
It's a display.
Trophies there.
Land-grant museum there.
Yeah.
But there is a trophy, and I won a branding award for this beer series, so I'm pretty proud of it, and I'm glad it keeps coming back every year, and it's a lot of fun, and I think they end up looking great and tasting great, and it's nice to have a beer where I don't have to figure out what the colors are every year. I know they're going to be black and gold.
Yeah.
That helps.
Yeah, it's so cool. So I'm thinking this may not be real high on the scale this week, but...
How crushable is this?
Quarantine edition.
Well, you know, I'm trying to take it easy because of my New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm, sure you are. Me too.
8.2 ABV, darker. You know, it's not the lightest beer in the world.
It's a full mouth of beer.
Yeah. And but that's why it's good. I'm going to go with... 2 seems low because it's delicious. 3 seems high. I'm going to go with a 3. During these unprecedented times, I'm going to go with a 3.
Well, you got to go beyond.
It's a dark beer for a dark time. It's, you know, that's all I got to say.
I'm going to take Walt's advice and make the bad decision. And I'm also going to go with 3. You said it was a mouthful... of beer, or whatever, however you worded it.
That's what I said.
But you said it was a mouthful of beer?
It sure is, every time I take a sip.
I think that would be a gulp, then, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't think it... It doesn't taste heavy.
No.
And you got a little bit of that coffee flavor to make you think that there's caffeine in it to give you that little perk. So you just want to have another sip.
Be good breakfast beer.
Tastes good until the last drink.
If you could go to a restaurant and have brunch... Which you can't. I mean, you can, but you shouldn't. This would be a good beer to drink with, like, a stack of pancakes. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'd do that. I'm going to go 2 Crusher, though.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's probably, you know, as we like to call you the dad of this podcast, that's probably about right.
So what do we got coming up next week? We've got Get There Fast, right?
We sure do, Mark. It's a milkshake IPA. It's got a little key lime in there. It's going to be... Tall boys to that?
Yep.
Yep. It's on the canning line probably as you're listening to this. Coming down the line.
Oh my
gosh. Fresh beer for you.
And if you were one of the lucky people to get an anniversary 6-pack, you already know what this beer's about. And it's real tasty.
I've got to tell you, this one might be a crusher, even a 16 for me.
Oh boy. Stay tuned, everybody.
I'm pretty sure it's also like 7%, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll yeah, it's week. Not.
We'll find out next week.
Yeah, it's not that crushable, but you know, you might want to be looking to get away from it all next week, if you know what I mean. And when you get there fast, you know what you do, Mark?
You go down to Kokomo.
Now, when you get there fast,
take it slow.
You take it slow. Exactly.
That's where I want to go.
Well, fellas, have a good week. Listeners, thanks for listening.
Yeah, and like I said, Dan, if you're listening, I'll leave like a sandwich outside the door tomorrow, and I hope that's enough to get you through the week, but we'll figure it out.
He'll probably just ferment it into something. Get there fast and then we'll take it slow. That's where you wanna go. We're down in Kokomo. Butter, butter.